Right back here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Don't forget, you can check us out on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, probably Facebook as well. Put it on your TV while you're ironing your clothes or getting your stuff ready. You don't want to miss anything from the sports world today. I thought this was interesting because I want to get back into the World Series here in a little bit, but article that was shared with me yesterday by the boss, because he was listening to our show yesterday.
Just because
as well.
He shares something doesn't mean we have to discuss
it. No, but it was relatable to what we talked about yesterday. That's why I wanted to bring it up. Because he sends an article of the NFL has a record of its closest games of one score since 2024. It has a 67 games have been decided by 7 points or less.
That seems small to me.
Really?
How many games have we played in the NFL, though, so far?
I don't know. The bias.
Was there 200? There's 250 roughly regular season games. So say we played 125 regular, just rough estimate right now. Yeah, I feel like games are a lot closer in the NFL than that number would indicate.
Which a lot of people, again, on the text line have kind of said, you know, like kind of insinuating that, like, where's the Patrick Mahomes of 2019? Where's the Patrick Mahomes?
Well, it's 2024.
Right. And they want that explosive offense blowout type of win. They want to win every game. A lot of people do. I mean, it makes it for an easier Sunday, stressless, you know, but the blowouts aren't necessarily there in the NFL anymore.
They're not. No.
Defenses have gotten better. You look at how the Chiefs have changed. The NFL is such an ebb and flow of what the strategic is. I mean, what, 90s, it was running the ball and defense. Now, all of a sudden, we're running the ball and playing defense again, right?
Like, that just everything's cyclical, right?
Right. And, you know, the offensive production, like the leading wide receiver is Ja'Marr Chase with 679 receiving yards through 8 weeks of the football season.
Mm-hmm.
We're into week nine, and last year, I think Tyreek Hill and another, I think A.J. Brown maybe, were like knocking on the door of 1,000 yards receiving. And now we're here. And again, I know A.J. Brown's been hurt and Tyreek Hill's hadn't had his quarterback. But
hey, that all factors in, man. It counts, right?
And here's the Chiefs where everybody is like, please bring us back that like 19 offense, that 20 offense. It's like, that's not the team anymore.
Right.
The team and the general manager who you defined as smart, which I'm not going to disagree with you ever in my life, has adapted to what the league is showing. And they're running the ball more. And they're playing defense at an elite level. They're the second best defense in the NFL. And they anchor that with a quarterback that now is almost like adopted with Andy Reid, this Marty Ball mentality, because they're letting their defense do it. They're letting their quarterback and running back kind of portray where they're going, and they're getting first downs 50% of the time in games through 8 weeks through 8 weeks of a season, 7 games on the schedule so far. So it's like Veach is 2 steps ahead of you yet again, because blowouts aren't happening. Close games are happening. And playoffs, you don't see a lot of blowouts either.
No, there's
either.
You got to learn how to win close games.
Close games. Yeah, and it's like, why not just keep that mentality for as long as you can? So then when the lights do get brighter and everybody does get more tense, your team is just a well-oiled machine that is efficient.
This is the best team the Chiefs have had in the Patrick Mahomes era. And I don't say that lightly, but from 1 to 53, they're strong on both sides of the football. They can score on offense, they're top 10 offense, and they're a top 2 defense or whatever it is. There was never anything like that, you know, before. They were number 1 in offense and number 32 in defense. You just don't win games that way.
Right.
And I think what we're also seeing, too, now, is money being spread around on the defensive side. So kids are more apt to stay on the defensive side of the football if they're a good athlete in high school or college, because they know they can cash in the NFL. Defensive backs make big money. Edge rushers now in the NFL. My God. Like, I mean, you look at edge rushers in the NFL and the money that they're taking, and that money wasn't there a couple of years ago. And now all of a sudden the money gets there, the players get there. Like, you could probably go through every team and talk about this guy. They got a great edge rusher. They got a great defensive lineman. They got a great defensive back. As bad as the Giants are, I mean, you know, their defensive front is unbelievable, right? They're playing unbelievable football on that defensive front. Guys are getting paid on that defensive front. Guys are getting paid on the defensive front here in Kansas City. George Karlaftis is going to get a check at the end of this season. Chris Jones got a check already, right? I mean, there are guys on this team that play defense just in Kansas City that are making good money. Well, that's now spreading around into the rest of the NFL, and they can realize, well, maybe I don't have to be a wide receiver or a quarterback to make money anymore. I can be a defensive back or a linebacker or an edge rusher in this league and make some really good money. Hell, I could be an offensive lineman. Joe Tooney got $80 million as a guard to come here to Kansas City. So
Trent Williams got a lot of money. Plays an important position.
Absolutely. But, I mean, we're now paying the interior. Look at Creed Humphrey. So the money is getting there at other positions, and so you're not just top-heavy at certain positions or you're just top-heavy on offense. Mm-hmm. You can be good on both sides of the football, and I think there's a lot of talent that's now saying, you know what, I'll play defense. I don't have a problem with that. I can catch a big check on defense.
So we go to the stats that you seem to hate, but they describe the Chiefs' total yards on offense. They're averaging 358. That's 11th best.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Passing yards, they're 12th. 225.9 a game. Rushing
yards. That's 12th in the league, and they're only they're 225. Yes, it's not a passing league anymore, right?
They are 13th in rushing yards per game. 122.1.
Now, see, 2 years ago, if you would have given me those stats, rushing would probably be in the top five. Passing would be in the bottom five.
Correct. You know? And points per game, they're 9th with averaging 24.7.
Yeah.
And then they are 2nd on third down percentage at 50.5%.
And that's so big. You just keep the chains moving.
Keep the ball and you stay efficient.
Yeah.
Defensively, you flip it. Total yards allowed, 302 a game. That's 2nd best in the NFL.
That's 2nd best, huh?
2nd best in the NFL. Passing yards allowed a game, 212.7, 17th in the NFL.
Wow, a couple of years ago, that would have been like number one in the NFL.
And where people are starting to be trendy with running backs, they allow 82.3 yards per game on the ground. That's 2nd best.
Who's
in the NFL.
One?
Probably Pittsburgh.
Oh, yeah, duh. Probably,
And then points per game, they're top five. They're allowing 17.6 points per game, and they're allowing a 34.9% conversion rate on third down. That's 12th best on defense. Uh-huh. So could get a little better on third down.
Yeah.
But again, teams aren't running the ball against them, and teams aren't putting yards up against them. So they're just letting you
pass.
Or
scoring.
Yeah, they're not scoring. They're 5th allowed in points. They allow 17.6 a game, 82 yards a game on the ground, which is 2nd best, and 302 total yards a game, which is 2nd best.
So the Chiefs are basically winning games 24-17 because that's a touchdown.
Yeah.
They're outscoring their opponents by a touchdown.
They're averaging, 24 points a game, 24 points a game, and they're allowing 18 points.
So roughly they're winning every game 24-17.
And they're 7-0.
And they're 7-0, and you're winning by a touchdown every game. That is kind of blowout level in this day and age, you know, in the NFL. There just aren't a lot of, there aren't a lot of 30-point whitewashings anymore. And
right.
I think sometimes that ends up being the problem with sports. This team's got problems. They're 7-0. What's the problem? Well, they don't have Tyreek. They've won 2 Super Bowls, sir, without Tyreek Hill. You know, the game has changed and evolved. And I think much like anything, though, in life, for a lot of people, you form your opinion. And damn, it better be that way every single time, because I'm not changing my opinion. I'm not changing my view. I'm not changing my stance on the subject matter. And when you look at the Chiefs, people saw Patrick Mahomes' first year, and they expected it to be that every year. Teams adjust, defenses adjust, the league has adjusted, right? We're seeing so many different things today, 7 years after Patrick Mahomes came into the NFL. There weren't good defenses back then. There really weren't. It was just go out there and just throw the ball up and have some fun. And then all of a sudden they went, all right, let's try to even this thing out a little bit and, you know, make defense more of a part of the game. And they have, and that's why the Chiefs are smart, because they keep adjusting. But really, they're leading the adjustments, right? They're leading this change in the NFL, and everybody's just kind of flowing in behind them and changing as the Chiefs change.
Mm-hmm. And this Monday night, they go in as 8.5-point favorites, the over-under 45.5. So if you want to look at this, 24-17, that's right around that mark, right?
Yeah.
And then 8.5, they're winning games by 7 points. So it's like Vegas is starting to jump on this.
Yeah, so about 41 points a game, roughly, for the Chiefs.
Is what the over-under is. So
yeah.
What do you like more about that, the under 48 and 45.5 or the Chiefs minus 8.5?
I like the under.
8.5 is tough.
That's a big number.
8.5's,
big number. It's a big number in the NFL. Yeah. I mean, like, and that's what people think all the time. Like, I think a lot of times people don't look at the spreads of games.
Mm-hmm.
They just look at the outcomes of games. Oh, I can't believe we didn't blow them out. Sir, we were a 3-point favorite in this game. We won by 5. That's a blowout. You know,
how much money as a show do we each want to put on the money line for the Houston Texans on Thursday night? You are still a 1.5 underdog.
I'm getting scared. I'm getting scared, man.
And it's plus 105
on
the money
line. Alex is taking the Jets. Didn't he say that yesterday?
He said, he goes, sometime.
Fade the public.
Yeah, Alex said it'll join us Thursday. He says, when everybody goes one way, fade the public.
Yeah.
He goes, sometimes it's okay to listen to Vegas. Now, Houston is without Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs.
And Stephon Diggs. And they're traveling.
And they're on a short week.
And, you know, Rodgers is drinking that cayenne pepper water now. So
that changes everything.
Do you really believe the Jets can beat the Houston Texans? Like, in your mind, if you say it out loud, do you really think that you can tell yourself the Jets can beat Houston?
Yeah.
Wow.
I can.
As much as you hate the Jets, I can.
Because I don't know why I say that.
I don't either.
Like, that's one, like, I think the line scares the hell out of me in this one. Like,
over under 42, Jets minus 1.5.
What does Las Vegas know? What do the odds makers know about this game? And you know what it is? It's better for the league if the Jets win.
I think the Stephon Diggs injury has a little bit to do with it.
Has a lot to do with it, I'm sure, right? But also, think about business. If the Jets go to 2-7, now they are done. Aaron Rodgers out here peddling, oh, we're still alive. They lost 5 in a row, but at 2-6, people can still try to talk themselves into a playoff spot. You fall to 2-7 on Thursday night, now the Jets are eliminated from this whole thing.
That's right.
So
if they lose, do they trade Aaron Rodgers?
They should.
Uh-huh.
And Davante Adams, right?
They should trade everybody.
Trade them all.
I mean, what are you holding on for? If you fall to 2-7, obviously you've already fired your coach. Your general manager's done.
What side of the fence, no pun intended, are you on after this audio clip of where you want to see this series go? I don't know why that happened, but okay.
He's loaded, two out. Cranks the ball, deep left field. Volpe with redemption.
Boy, did that stadium finally get something to cheer about as Volpe hit that grand slam and the Yankees crowd loses their mind. Which side of the fence? Are you ready for this to be over? Or do you want to see it keep going?
Well, I mean, I was thinking today driving in, I'd love to see a Game 7. Like, we all want, like, Game 7 is the coolest thing in sports, right? Like, we'd all love to see a Game 7.
Yeah.
So, if they didn't lose last night, let's go to Game 7. Let's get this thing to a Game 7 and give everybody what they want, a Game 7. Game 7s are the best in all of sports. Nothing better.
And I want to watch the Yankees get the most pain. So it would have been a sweep, but now the second most pain is getting really, really close and then having it ripped away from
but
you.
Honestly,
so Game 7.
Honestly, right now, how nervous are the Dodgers? Because, it happened one other time, and that was the Red Sox in 2003. Dave Roberts was on that team. He's now the manager of the Dodgers. So he's seen this act from the other side. And you were saying something today about some video that's coming out that I refuse to watch about that series. And Kevin Millar said to A-Rod something about like just...
The Comeback is what it's called.
Yeah, The Comeback on Netflix.
It's the production of Levitard. And it's the three down 3-0.
Yeah.
Boston comes back. And they were talking about... Last night, Jeter, A-Rod, David Ortiz were all...
So you subjected yourself to that god-awful pregame show.
Yeah, because TNT was at commercial.
I mean, that baseball pregame show on Fox is epically awful.
And they were talking about, like, you know, Jeter was like, I'll tell you what, if the Yankees win tonight and then Gerrit Cole comes out and they get it to 3-2, he's like, I don't want to be on that flight to Los Angeles. I want to be on that flight and from New York. He goes, that's a long flight. I've done that flight a ton in my career. That's a thing that, you know, when you play a team like the Yankees, you want to beat them and get them done with and get it over with, just like the Yankees and Dodgers. If you're up 3-0, I don't want to go to game 4. I don't want to go to game 5. Sure as hell, I don't want to go to game 6.
Right.
Because then you're starting to, you know, think about it. And then A-Rod was like, he's like, when, you know, we were up 3-0, I got to like first base or third base, wherever it was. He's like, and Kevin Millar was like, let us win one. And A-Rod is like, no way, man, I'm not doing that. And he's like, come on, the networks want us to go 7.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And so factor that in as well. You knew the Yankees weren't going to allow them to get swept, right? Like they were told to serve up a meatball to Volpe and he knocked out of the ballpark or whatever, right?
That fan was plugged into the stadium to kind of mess with the Dodgers psyche.
Yeah, that's exactly what that was. That's why he's coming back for game 5. Those two idiots in the crowd last night.
Get your tinfoil caps on.
I mean, you got to. You just do. But like game 7 would be awesome. But if the Yankees do win tonight, right? Mm-hmm. Gerrit Cole is pitching
tonight.
He
is tonight.
I mean, you going to take him out after 88 pitches, Brett, or are you going to leave him in the ballgame a little
bit longer?
No,
that dude's going until his arm falls off.
I mean, you're not pitching again this year, most likely.
Or it's like 8-0, and it's like, okay, stop the bleeding.
What about a game 7? Do you come back with Gerrit Cole in game 7?
Everybody's
available. Right? Everybody's
available. Except
no
that
tomorrow.
Guy that gave up the grand slam to Freddie
Cortez,
Freeman. That guy may not even be around. Like, he might be a made man, Goodfellas edition in New York.
Nestor, we're not going to see you anymore. Take care. Enjoy your mustache.
Did you watch that? You said you don't watch the pregame, but they did a really good Of course, it's Tom Rinaldi. Anytime Tom Rinaldi's on the screen, go get your Kleenexes.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And he's just so good at it. But they did a thing with Freddie Freeman and his dad and, like, Freddie Freeman's process.
Oh, I missed that. See, I would have enjoyed that. Yeah,
it was so good. It
I was trying
so
to get the leaves
good.
Up last night before the rain came.
I'm doing that today.
Yeah. I thought the rain was coming a lot earlier than tonight. I could have done it. But you know what I'm saying? Like, I saw the piles.
At least you're done.
Yeah, at least it's done.
You're
right?
done. Yeah. But yeah, they were talking about how, like, after he hit the grand slam, he went up to, like, the netting.
Yeah, he did.
Dad.
It was cool. Yeah, yeah right.
And like, he said, I think he just shouted, moment. I effing love you. He's like, I think that's all I said. And they talked about his son, Max, and his process through what he was diagnosed with. God, it's hard to hate against Freddie Freeman.
It is. No, like everybody should be rooting for Freddie Freeman. I think he's having the greatest individual postseason performance in sports history.
Because he's not in Atlanta because of his agent. Because you remember that story, right? Like,
yeah,
the agent's oh, they're not offering. He's like, okay. Then he went to L.A.,
right.
And he was out of the click. And he was like, I don't know if I belong here. And then the story came out that Atlanta's like, dude, we totally offered you a contract. And he's like, hey, agent, like, what's going on with this?
Did
like,
he fire the agent?
I think so after that. I don't know for a fact, so I don't want to say yes or no.
Right.
But, like, I know that was the story of why he's not in Atlanta.
Yeah. No, it was wild to see what he's doing. Like, it's like
insane. Five straight World Series games with a home run.
I mean, yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, like looking at Freddie Freeman and watching this performance is, to me, the greatest individual postseason performance I've ever seen. And you know, to hit a home run in baseball, I mean, they always say the hardest thing to do in sports is to hit a baseball, right? To hit a home run in five straight World Series games dating back to the last time he played in the World Series, but just the four this year, I've never seen anything like it. It is the most remarkable run I've ever seen an athlete on.
What do you think the prop bet is right now for Freddie Freeman at a home run tonight?
Negative 700.
Oh, I hope not. It's probably still like plus something, but I bet it's like plus 280.
Right.
Right? They don't have it. Oh, wait. Yeah, they do. Batter props. Aaron Judge home run still plus 190.
How? Plus 190 for Judge?
Yeah. How is that possible?
To get a hit?
Freddie Freeman home runs one or more plus 500.
Plus
so Vegas is thinking that it's over.
Because it was like plus 280 yesterday, Dusty. So it's
one or more plus 500.
I just got a text from somebody who was part of the 2015 Royals operation, and they said, we were scared blankless of having to go back to Kansas City in 2015 because of the Mets starting pitching. So like, you lose tonight.
Get
if you're the Dodgers,
as fast as possible.
You don't like, I know in 2015, the conversation was, all right, do we lose game five and win it back in Kansas City? There's no guarantees you're going to win anything anywhere. You got to take care of business.
I think basketball is the only thing that you can give the gentleman's sweep to, because home crowds, I think, are a little bit more impactful in basketball just because it feels like it's like right on top of you on the court.
Yeah.
Plus it's indoors. Whereas baseball crowds can be rowdy, but like, you know, one.
But we saw last night.
Right. The grand slam switch. But we do love seeing the Yankees lose. I think, is that one of the top teams that you love to see lose?
No, me is Mizzou.
Okay. That's a KU alum though. But hey, to be fair, Mizzou's favorite team to probably see lose is Kansas.
No doubt.
Right?
Yes, no doubt. Should be.
Anytime Kansas loses, Carrington, Mizzou dot, it's a parade.
Right.
So it's the same thing for you.
Yeah, it's like, of course. It should be. It's a rivalry, right? Like, that's the way it should be. Like, if people are mad, I can't believe you. Why not? I went to KU. I don't like Missouri.
Yeah.
You went to Mizzou. You don't like Kansas. It's fine. It's healthy. It's good.
That's what makes it fun.
Yeah, exactly. The rivalries, but people take it to a different level.
Like, you probably love seeing Alabama and Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
You're a Tennessee guy.
Absolutely.
You enjoy that, right?
And I love seeing the Northwest Bearcats lose. I hate those guys, man.
What about Pitt State?
Hate them.
Yeah.
No, it's true. I'm a mule.
Yeah, it's
those
true.
Those are my rivals.
Those are your rivals.
And Northwest is always so freaking good at everything. Maybe not anymore. But, man, I hated seeing them win.
Is Mel Churchma still the coach up
there?
Did he leave? Is he still the guy? Because that guy was running roughshod all over.
Where's
Binkley right now? Pitt State Jay.
Yeah,
he'll call in on this one.
Yeah. Cincinnati's a team.
Cincinnati,
I'd love to see
F them. F them. I hate their fans. There's not one worthwhile Bengal fan out there.
I love seeing Cincinnati lose. I love seeing Baltimore lose.
I love seeing the Jets lose.
Buffalo losing is just because of like how that rivalry is stewed. Watching the White Sox suffer this year was great.
121 losses.
That's fine to me.
My God.
You probably like watching the Bears lose.
I don't mind it.
Yeah.
Yep. Don't mind watching the Bears lose.
You like watching just an individual lose? LeBron?
LeBron, yep.
Why?
Never liked LeBron.
See,
always been a LeBron hater.
I've always liked LeBron. Then it got a little old recently. You know, like, all right, chill out, man. We don't need tacos every Tuesday.
Yeah.
I respect him, though. I know he's
good. I don't respect, like,
The whole bringing Bronny along, I respect it from like a dad doing what's sure. best for his kid, but like you got, again, you're talking to other adults in the room and you're playing this guy over adults that have worked their whole
and
career for this.
And we all know he's not, yeah.
But if LeBronny was, if Bronny, yeah, but if his last name was Johnson, he's not on the Lakers.
Exactly, dude. Right.
And everybody knows that, like nepotism at its finest. Like I see both sides, I get both sides of that thing. But I'll tell you what, if I'm a player on that Laker team and this guy's getting minutes over me,
yeah, like if Alex Gold wasn't your son, he wouldn't be the Midday host.
100%.
Exactly.
100%.
Now you get it.
Now you understand. Yeah.
No, I really, top three teams I see, I love seeing losing. Northwest.
Sure. I like it. It's great.
1,000%.
Yeah. Love it.
Yankees and Bengals. Yeah. And nice. Honorable mention, St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah, I don't mind anything in St. Louis. Like the Battle Hawks, I like seeing lose.
Seeing St. Yeah. Louis go through that turmoil this year, I was just sitting back, cigar in my mouth. Hell, Parliament Light just... Tell me more.
Yeah.
You know, Coach Mel from the text line battling cancer right now and is no longer the coach in Northwest. Okay. So say some extra prayers.
Yeah,
the text
no
line,
doubt.
So.
Go get him, coach.
Yeah, fight it, Mel. You win at everything else. Why can't you beat this?
He will.
Yeah, no doubt.
He will.